on 1395 Adelaide's 5AA. Peter Godfrey.
Email on air at 5AA.com.au.
Interactive Radio. 1395 Adelaide's 5AA.
And I think JK's still on the sick list today. In fact, I think the rest of the week he's off crook for poor fella Jane Doyle, filling his very big shoes this week. 21 minutes past five. Where has the morning gone? Let's head across to New Zealand. Selwyn Manning's joining us from scoop.co.nz. G'day, Selwyn.
Yeah, g'day, Peter.
How's the excitement with the Rugby World Cup? It's still got everyone's attention.
Yes, it has. It's trudging on. I can give a bit of an update on where Australia is kind of positioning and what's in front of it, if you like, at
all
the
right.
end of the bulletin.
We will do. What we're getting into first, actually, is a sad story. A second New Zealand SAS soldier has been killed in Afghanistan.
Yes. Now, that's right. This announcement came through late yesterday afternoon by way of a press conference called by the Prime Minister over here in New Zealand, the Minister of Defence and the Head of Defence Forces. What it is one SAS soldier. His name has been released this morning, and his name is Lance Corporal Leon Smith. He was an SAS soldier deployed to the Kabul region, and he is the second SAS soldier to die in recent months, Peter. The fourth Kiwi soldier to be killed in Afghanistan in the last year. Now, Lance Corporal Smith, he was shot in the head. That's what we understand. And it occurred during an operation in the Wardak province, which is southwest of Kabul. Ironically, it's an area that the New Zealand government's insisted that the SAS were not operating in after investigative reports here in New Zealand by a journalist, John Stevenson. But the government's line is that the Kiwi SAS have been monitoring and mentoring the Afghan Crisis Response Unit, the CRU. Now, that is clearly not holding water when you look at the latest killing here of another New Zealander. What is really important to this type of issue here is that the SAS are clearly in frontline strike operations, and that is an aspect of its work over in Afghanistan that the New Zealand government refuses to acknowledge. In boiling that down, Peter, it really wants the Kiwi public to believe that our soldiers over there in Afghanistan are in rebuilding and mentoring roles. Any strike force aspects to its deployment are being denied.
Is this latest death adding pressure, though, to the government to reconsider?
It would have to be, this is early days of breaking news, basically, late yesterday afternoon, and certainly the name of the Lance Corporal Smith came through this morning. The pressure is certainly, going to be applied there. The Prime Minister, in his press conference yesterday, he insisted that New Zealand soldiers must stay in Afghanistan to help out, was the words he used. And I've got to emphasise that word help is certainly a key word in the Prime Minister's spin toolbox, if you want to put it that way. That is what he wants the New Zealand public to believe, is that New Zealand soldiers are there to help out the Afghanistan government, to help them achieve a standard of security and an enforcement that the rest of the West kind of endures. So that is the whole mission there. That has been challenged by many reports that are coming out now. There was a significant book by investigative author Nikki Hager here in New Zealand called Other People's War, which goes right into the detail with cited official documentation backing up the book's claims that New Zealand is much more involved in the war on terror than any government that we've had in the last 10 years has wanted the public to believe. So the Prime Minister, he is denying the claims made in these books, and certainly like in the reports that I mentioned earlier on by John Stevenson. Presses on, but whether or not it will stick is another matter.
All right. John Key also standing firm on another issue that we spoke about, was it last week, about the video surveillance bill, retrospective nature of that, and still Nationals keen to get that through.
Yes, the National League government is determined to ram this thing through, this bill, the video surveillance bill, to get it through, basically to get the police off the hook for illegally videoing suspects in their own homes. I think the general public, and certainly the general public here in New Zealand always thought that the police had that power, but apparently not, and apparently the police knew it didn't have that power, but went ahead anyway. So many cases have already concluded with convictions, and many instances relying on video surveillance from private prisons. premises or private land. What you know, how that affects those cases, we're yet to be seen. But if the government gets this legislation through with urgency, then it gets not only the police off the hook, but itself as well. With an election looming, the Nationals, they haven't really had it all their own way in this. They wanted this legislation to scoot through the Parliament all through this week under urgency, but all the other parties in Parliament, they haven't been keen on this legislation. They're saying that the Supreme Court and the courts themselves do have the ability to allow that evidence to be placed before the courts on in some sort of, you know, public interest, national interest type of testing ground, testing bar, really. So it's saying it needs to be well thought out, needs to be done properly, and not just thrown through the Parliament with bad consequences in the future. The government, the National League government, hasn't been able to get that its own way on this. It's gone to silly committee, and they're having a bit of a chin wag, although there is still urgency around it, and public submissions have got a pretty tight window this week, today, in fact, where they can appear, and then one would imagine that next week this legislation will become law.
All right. So that was it Labor that were wanting it to go to a select committee? Is that
All the parties in the House, the Māori Party that's in support of the Nationals in government, it didn't like it. It sees that it impacts on its own people. The ACT Party, it didn't like it on other points. The far right, the Labor Party and the Green Party, significantly, those two really got their own way on it. So it's an interesting outcome for the government. It's going into elections, obviously, in the end of November. But this, whether or not it would affect the poll ratings are still very much in favour of National. It's very unlikely it will affect that. But it is a diversion away from the handling of the economy, and perhaps that's a part of the strategy there.
All right. The other diversion, of course, as we said at the start, the Rugby World Cup. New Zealand's doing all right. Australia, not too bad in our pool.
Yeah, now Australia's expected to win the game against Russia, of course, on Saturday. That's almost a given. That would secure Australia's position and the runner-up position in Pool C. Now, it's significant in the sense that the leader in Pool C is Ireland, because Ireland beat Australia early in the pool game. Now, it's expected to win its game against Italy. So what that all boils down to, so if Australia goes into the quarterfinals as the runner-up in that area, it will front up against South Africa, most likely, because it looks like South Africa is going to win its pool. Okay, you can expect in a couple, you know, not this weekend, but the weekend after, around there, that Australia will be playing South Africa in a quarter final. Now, you know Australia can beat South Africa. South Africa is looking good, but Australia can do that. If it does that, then, you know, it gets a shot at going through into the semi-final. So, you know, it's anyone's game here. I wouldn't write you guys off. And also, the New Zealand All Blacks almost certainly will beat Canada this weekend. It will come into Pool A as the winner. It will then go and play in the semis against Scotland or Argentina, or a long shot, maybe England, if England plays a real poor game against Scotland this weekend. So, you know, that all boils down to, Peter, it could be that if Aussie beats South Africa in its quarterfinal, All Blacks win Group 4, and then it's quarterfinals. They could meet. This could be an Australia-New Zealand semi-final. So that's something that there's still life in the Australian Wallaby pack yet.
Wouldn't that be exciting?
Ireland
are ahead of Australia at the moment on the points, though. You couldn't write them off.
No, you can't. They're playing with a lot of heart. You know, if arguably, you know, from a Southern Hemisphere point of view, the Ireland team is not playing with the same kind of sophistication that we're used to down here. But they're playing with a lot of heart, and these teams that are doing that are really getting through their pool games and winning. That's what happened in the Ireland-Australia game. Now, Ireland, it's likely to be a quarterfinal one, Ireland versus Wales. Ireland probably could come through on that. The quarterfinal two would likely be England versus France, which would be a great game too. But it could be, you know, if the All Blacks even face Australia in the semis, my pick would be the All Blacks and that could end up being an All Blacks versus England final in the grand final in late October. But, you know, it all remains to be seen.
We'll see that. All right, Selwyn, thanks for that. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, Peter. Bye.
Selwyn Manning from scoop.co.nz. It's 5:30.